Hi friends, I just want to take a quick moment to tell you about Anchor. Now, if you're an aspiring podcaster or have friends who've started their own podcast, then you've probably heard your fair share of ads on Anchor. Maybe you're even a little bit skeptical like I was at first. I mean, is anything really free when you're creating a podcast? Well, let me tell you firsthand, Anchor is the way to go. Anchor FM really gives you everything you need to start a podcast. You can record directly on there or upload your files, easily edit your recordings from your phone or computer, and if you don't have anyone to produce the music for your podcast, they even give you access to music from Spotify that you can use without copyright infringement and select your own. I mean, how easy is that? Not only can you do all this, but you can upload onto all streaming services directly from Anchor. If you're hesitant about starting your podcast and all the how-to stuff, Anchor makes it 10 times easier for you with clear instructions from the get-go on how to start your podcast and even advises you on how you can make money with it. And it's free. So really, you can't lose here, and I love that for you. It's helped me in my podcast creation journey, and I know it can be the same for you. Download the Anchor app or go to anchor.fm right now and start that journey. That's anchor.fm. Hello, and welcome to the Dress in Splendor podcast. Luke 12:27 states, "Look at how the wildflowers grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these." Our mission here is to share stories from men and women that can help you learn how to stop laboring or striving after what you want to accomplish, but rather to trust in your heavenly Creator to guide you in your everyday life. If He has a plan for you, He will make a way. All He wants is our daily yes to Him and for us to stop worrying about what tomorrow will bring. If we can do that, then we, as children made in His image, can be dressed in even grander splendor than the beautiful wildflowers of the field. I'm your host, Lydia Summer, and I'm so glad you're here today. On today's episode, we have Kelsey Barnhart joining us in our conversation surrounding the topic of the nearness and presence of Yahweh. Kelsey shares her favorite ways to draw near to God and how she enters into His presence. And how she does this may be surprising to you. It certainly surprised me. We have fun chatting about this, and even Siri gets in on the conversation to weigh in her thoughts. Kelsey, in the words of Anne of Green Gables, is a true kindred spirit, and I'm excited for you to get to know her through this episode. Welcome to the Dress in Splendor podcast. Let's get started. Hello, friends. Welcome to the first full-length episode of our Nearness and Presence of Jesus series. Today, we have a very special guest on our show. Kelsey Barnhart, in short, is a total BA. She has an incredible testimony that she walks out, and her gentle, loving, fun spirit is one that you want to get to know. On a side note, her social media is super fun and creative, so when she shares her socials at the end of this episode, you will want to jot it down and follow her. She is so sweet, and I'm just stoked to have her on the show with me. Kelsey, welcome to the show.
Oh my gosh, thank you. Yeah. You're far too kind. It is good to be here with you.
Yeah, it's good to have you. Before we begin, could you just share a little bit more about yourself or our audience?
Yeah, so like you said, my name is Kelsey. I was born and raised in Peoria, Illinois. So I like to think of this as my turf. I'm 30 years old, and I work at Samaritan Ministries as an executive assistant. But yeah, if you spend any time in the Bradley, Moss, Uplands, West Peoria area driving around, you'll probably see me on a walk. That's one of my favorite things to do. Other than that, I'm a breast cancer survivor. I'm a writer, speaker, occasional model, advocate. And yeah, that's a little bit about me.
Which is a lot. I love it. I honestly see all of that, what you just described on your social media, and I just want to walk with you sometimes because I feel like whenever you share your perspective, it just looks 10 times more beautiful than when I see in person. So
thank you.
Yeah. So we're talking about nearness and presence, and I think before we jump into that conversation about how to draw near to God, I think it's important for us to just know, how did you first come to know Jesus?
Yeah, I was thinking about this earlier today, and what's so interesting is I don't really remember a time in my life when I didn't know him. And, you know, that's just a testament to my parents in a lot of ways. But my mom raised us, taking us to church, to VBS, having conversations with us about Jesus, reading Bible stories together. And so even though I don't remember like a specific time when I said yes and invited him into my heart, I just always remember having that relationship mm-hmm. with him and wanting to talk to him about my day or what I was scared about or happy about. Yeah, and even just like I was thinking back to, you know, the songs that we would sing in VBS and singing about like, my God is so big and so strong and so mighty. And I feel like all of those messages were just like seeds that were planted in my heart and helped me to know him from a young age.
That's awesome. Yeah, I mean, I think you knowing Jesus before you like knew him personally is very relatable. That was kind of me too. Mm-hmm. When I knew Jesus before I actually like realized like, oh, I need to ask him into my heart, like as a like 8-year-old girl.
Yeah.
That I was like, so when would you say it was that you made the decision in your life to consciously make an effort to draw near to Yahweh?
Yeah, I think that was probably like the beginning of high school. So I had a friend my freshman year who invited me to go to her church with her. She was a pastor's kid and just had like nothing but good things to say mm-hmm. about her church experience. And I noticed from the get-go that something was a little bit different about her and her relationship with Jesus. It was just so close and so tight, and I wanted that. And so I started going to church with her in the area, and that's definitely when I started to be exposed to a different way of walking with him, like a very personal, experiential way. And that's, I think, when I started to be a lot more intentional and conscious about wanting to spend time with him, whether that was, you know, in the Word or through worship or prayer. Experiencing things like prophecy or seeing people speaking in tongues for the first time. Mm. It was just like this whole different way of relating to him. Mm-hmm. And so that made me in turn want to draw near to him in those yeah. ways.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I think that, you know, I know you, so I know your story a little bit. And from what you haven't shared a little bit about, but I know you'll get into, is that you've just gone through a lot mm-hmm. in your 20s, and now you're 30.
Yeah.
So I just mouthed that because I was like, I don't want to get that wrong. So now you're 30, but your 20s was like a lot different than what a lot of people would experience in their 20s. So can you share with us what got you through some of those times and maybe share a little bit of what I'm alluding to?
Yeah. Well, like, I don't want to give the full rundown, right?
Yeah.
Because I think, like, most everybody has hard things in their life. But just, you know, for the sake of any listener, from a timeline perspective, like, I went through two very difficult breakups in 2016 and 17. And as you know, that hurts a girl, mm-hmm. right? Like, especially yeah. when you're in your mid-20s as a Christian and you think you're going to get married at a certain time, that can be really difficult to walk through. And then right on the edge of that, I was diagnosed with cancer in 2018, went through treatment all of 2019, mm-hmm. Had ongoing hormone treatment in 2020 for the cancer, which basically creates like a mood disorder in mm-hmm. and of itself. And then had two of my immediate family members having their own traumatic health issues in 2021 and 2022. So just from like a personal perspective, the last 6 or so years have felt like one long trauma. Mm. Like each time I've started to feel like I can relate to the Lord again yeah. and be comfortable talking to him again, like this brand new thing will happen. Mm-hmm. So that's created a little bit of difficulty or a lot of bit of difficulty mm-hmm. in trusting him and wanting to draw close to him. And yeah, it's just been very different than like high school or college. And, you know, one thing I meant to say earlier is at that time in my life, when I was starting to experience Jesus in these like new and exciting ways, I felt like it was like James 4 coming to life, specifically when it says like draw near to God mm. and he'll draw near to you. And cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts. And that you'll just like feel him in those moments in a new way. And so it was like very exciting at that time in my life. And I had that desire to draw near to him. Mm. And then started to go through some really hard things. And that desire on my end, I would say, like petered out a little bit. Mm-hmm. So then these past, you know, 6 or so years, it's really been more of his testament to staying with me and drawing close to me, regardless of like anything that I have inside of me to do. Much more of like a, his faithfulness rather than mine type of an experience. So, yeah, that's been the last few years.
Yeah. Yeah. So when did it kind of switch from him drawing near to you? Because, you know, we know that he's faithful, always near us and everything like that. When did it come from that to you're saying like, okay, like I can't do this by myself. I need God. I need him to help me, you know, walk through this season right now.
Mm-hmm. I think the really noticeable shift was not actually after like the first or second hard thing, because even going through something like cancer, I feel like I was able to rely on scriptures like Romans 8:28 when it talks about him working things for good. Like I just had a very hopeful outlook through that difficult scenario. I think when things got really, really hard was when things started happening to my family members, because then it felt, it just was a lot more difficult to see how those things were going to work out for good. And they were not happening to me. And for whatever reason, that just like feels more personal sometimes. Yeah. And I think offense for a lot of Christians can start to creep in whether something is happening to you, but even definitely when something is happening to someone that you love and you start to feel like, okay, like, where are you, Lord? Are you really allowing this to happen? And how can I feel you close to me when we have this dynamic going on?
Yeah. Yeah, it's almost like you can disassociate yourself when it's yourself, because it's almost, it's not that you're in denial, but it's like, okay, I know what I can handle and all that stuff. And sometimes you go through just like this, zombie-like kind of walk through it. But then as soon as another family member is like going through it, you're like suddenly awake and you're like, oh gosh, I need to start like praying on behalf or just asking the Lord to, you know, intervene or asking those hard questions. Because, you know, I think a lot of people, I know one person that I can think of at the top of my head. I know that's probably happened to more people, but, you know, he's an atheist now. And he said that part of the reason why is because his dad passed away when he was younger. Mm-hmm. And he's like, why would God let that happen? And, you know, so I think it's great that you went closer to God instead of further away when your family members have been getting involved in all of that. So, so what are some ways that you actually draw near to him?
Yeah, I think like my personality type and the way things work in my head, I think is kind of naturally to categorize things. So when I knew we were going to be talking about this topic and I was thinking about the different ways that I experience his nearness, I kind of came up with like 6 categories from personal experience. Right. There's some that maybe a lot of people are, you know, really familiar with, like feeling his nearness in a tangible way when you're reading scripture and something like jumps out to you in a new way. Or, you know, someone like a friend might even, this happened to me one time, like texted me a scripture that somebody else had also sent me in my life, like at the same time. And it's like, oh my goodness, like this is really the Lord encouraging me in this specific verse. So I think there's things like scripture, you know, worship. A lot of people, I think, feel the Lord's nearness when they are worshiping him or praising him. And I think that has to do with like just where our focus is on the moment, right? Mm-hmm. It like gets you out of kind of the self-focused like trial that you're experiencing, and you're just declaring who he is and declaring truth. And that does like a really amazing thing to the soul. But then some other ways I was thinking of that I've experienced him has been through other people, through prayer, through dreams, and even through nature. So I definitely want to share some of those stories, because I think those have become the things that have become my like Ebenezer stones, that when things do get to a point where I'm like, will I survive this next new hard thing? It's thinking back on those times where I've felt his nearness that keeps me going.
Yeah. Well, before you get into those stories, because I know I definitely want to hear it. For those of who are listening who may not understand your reference that you just made about Ebenezer stones, can you actually talk about that a little
bit? Yeah, I'm glad you... I did a little study on it this morning, so I'm glad you asked about it. So Ebenezer stones are mentioned in Samuel, and they're actually mentioned like in three different contexts. And the two that I really want to focus on was, you know, one time it was to memorialize a defeat, and one time it was to memorialize a victory. So the really beautiful thing about that to me is that like we can see his nearness through both of those things, because just like the last series you did was like mountains and valleys, like we're gonna experience him through it all. And so I think having those moments to look back on where we can point to it and say, I experienced him through that defeat or through that victory. It'll just encourage you for the next thing you go through.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Wow. Well, thanks for sharing that. Yeah. And now I'm going to go look up Samuel. Was it in 1st or 2nd Samuel?
I don't remember.
Okay. Well, I'm going to read all of it. Yeah. So, okay, so let's break down the different ways that you draw near to him. Let's start with the quote unquote easy one, with prayer. Like, how do you draw near to him through prayer?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think for most of my Christian life, it was your very traditional way of, you know, asking him for things, thanking him for things, interceding, petitioning. But then there came this time in, I want to say it was like maybe 2016 or 17, where I just felt like I was going through this scenario that no matter what I was doing, it like was really hard to pray. I was just overcome with emotion and sadness each time I would try. And a friend at the time said to me, like, do you have a place you visualize when you pray? And I was like, I don't know, that sounds kind of corny, or like, I don't want it to be like cliche, or whatever. But I just decided to give it a try. I like closed my eyes. I asked the Lord to show me like, what's a place where we could be right now together, while I'm praying to you. And what immediately popped into my head was something I did not expect, which was like a one-room cabin on this big land of property. I don't know if it's like a park or a meadow or what, but inside the room, there's like a fireplace and a couch and a chair by a window, a lot like this one, actually, like a little bar table with two chairs on each side and a window. And on the table, there's usually like a flower vase with like one of my favorite types of flowers in it. And for whatever reason, that like made it easier to pray, because I had this place that I could picture. And then because of that, I could picture like Jesus's body language. I was like, okay, so he's not this far off person or thing or idea, like he's across the table from me. He's making eye contact, or like maybe we're sitting on the couch and I'm like crying onto his shoulder. It just made it all way more tangible for me. And I believe personally that like everybody has a place like that, that they can pray with the Lord, and it might be a different place, it might be the same place every time, like whatever your soul needs. But for me, it's always been that room ever since. And the really cool thing about it is like years later, I was visiting a church in California that does prophecy rooms. And I was sitting down and, you know, the reason, the purpose that they do it is to just encourage people, right? Like they're not trying to fortune tell your future or whatever. But the girl, the lady who was praying for me, she said, I am getting this picture of like this house or this cabin. And like you're inside the house or cabin with Jesus. And I was just like, are you kidding me?
That's
like
this, amazing.
This random stranger in California is like seeing the place that I go to with Jesus. And it was just confirmation and encouraging, and has helped me have a lot more confidence that like that wasn't a fluke thing, mm-hmm. but that when I pray, Jesus is very close to me, and he always is with us, yeah. but like it just makes it more real to me.
Yeah. No, I'm glad you said that because I actually have been like talking to someone recently about how they can't really imagine Jesus actually being near to you. Mm-hmm. And so I actually learned this like exercise, I guess, in high school from my English teacher. And she actually told us about how she would sit across from an empty chair. Okay. And she would say, that's where Jesus is sitting. And that, like, I'm talking to him.
Okay.
Like, I'm inviting him into that space. And I'm, you know, asking him to, I mean, he's already there, but it makes it more tangible. And she's like, it's going to feel super weird mm-hmm. at first. But when, the more you talk, the more you can actually almost visualize that he's there.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least make it seem like you have someone that you can actually talk to, because, you know, when I'm praying, sometimes I'm just like, I don't even know where to look.
I look in the sky.
Yeah, right. And then, like, for me too, it's like, I actually don't like closing my eyes when I'm praying because I fall asleep. And I think that's another way that the enemy can use just for me, because I get so distracted and I think of different things. And when my eyes are closed and I'm mm-hmm. like, I just need to open my eyes and just like actually talk to him like he's right next to me. Mm-hmm. Because if I close my eyes, I guarantee you I'm falling asleep in the next 5 minutes. So, you know, even when other people are praying, like I just cannot focus. And I sometimes will even just have my eyes like slightly open, just because for me personally, I can focus a little bit better.
Yeah.
So for me, that works well when I'm like, sometimes I'm just like sitting across from an empty chair and I'm saying, hey, Jesus, like, I know you're already here, but I'd like to invite you to sit down with me.
Yeah. Well, it's intentional. And I think, like, hopefully what's encouraging to any listener is it doesn't have to be my way or Lydia's way, right? It can be like you asking Jesus to help you in your times of prayer to like feel his nearness.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that he'll honor that mm-hmm. and he'll show you like a new way of doing it, whatever works well for you.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Cool. I love that you have your own space.
Yeah.
And hopefully, even with us like doing our podcast in a similar way of what you picture, that we can even say that he's right next to us, like as we're doing this.
Amen.
So that's really cool. Okay. So prayer and then nature was another one.
Yeah. So nature has been an interesting one because, over the time of this being like a hard season, one of the things that I've loved to do is go on walks and just like move my body and think or pray while I'm doing it. And what started to happen is I would be looking down, like primarily not to trip, and I started finding snail shells. And at first I was like, these are like common, I guess, so they're not super special, but for whatever reason, I wanted to start taking them home with me. So I started picking up these snail shells that I would find on hikes or walks and started lining them up in a certain place in my house. And the more it started to happen, I noticed like it wasn't consistent, but it would sometimes happen when I'd be having a really hard day and then I would find a snail shell. Mm. And it just started to feel like, okay, like this is something that I enjoy and the Lord loves giving us gifts. So like maybe this is him encouraging me in the moment. So being who I am, I started reading like Wikipedia and science articles about snail shells and how they're formed. And what I found is that like snail shells have lines because they're formed in layers.
Mm.
It's like the deposit coming out of the snail layer by layer, and it creates this hard shell, you know, that they can dwell in. And so I just felt like the Lord was encouraging me the more I was finding them, like you are growing and maturing and being sanctified layer by layer.
Wow.
And I'm an Enneagram 1, so it can be really easy for me to be hard on myself or like want to be, you know, achieving this certain level of perfectionism or whatever. And so it just like released something in me that, you know, the hard things I go through or the growth experiences are happening layer by layer. And by the end, it's going to be this like beautiful thing that like the Lord will have on a shelf. And that's just one way that like he created nature and he created snail shells, and for whatever reason he wanted that on earth. And so it's just kind of been a fun way to connect with him and to feel his nearness because each time now that I find one of those shells, it's like encouraging to me. And I remember like my growth is happening layer by layer. So yeah, that's one story. And the other one I wanted to share has to do with hummingbirds. And that was just a similar thing where I like started noticing hummingbirds and was asking the Lord, like, what's unique or like interesting about hummingbirds? And I just started to learn like their heart rate is so fast, right? That's why their wings flutter the way that they do. But they're able to kind of like hover whenever they're drinking from plants or flowers. And I felt like the Lord was telling me, like, that's kind of similar to you if you'll, like, rest. Like, you have this, like, high-strung personality that can get, like, really worked up and anxious, especially when going through hard things. But, like, there is still a way to rest in those places. And literally just last night, I was FaceTiming with a cancer friend in Texas. And we have had really similar experiences, and we just like will encourage one another when we have these calls. And while I was talking to her, I saw a hummingbird out of like my peripheral vision, and without fail, it's just encouraging every single time. And I think so often, like, we're living our lives in such a fast-paced society that we're not slowing down or spending time in nature the way people did, you know, definitely in the past. And, I think that we miss some opportunities for the Lord to, like, exhibit his nearness to us and to show us, like, that he delights in his creation and he wants us to. And that's just another way to relate with him and to remember him in those moments.
Hey friends, we're going to take a quick break to talk to you a little bit about the product that sponsors our podcast, Splendor Magazine. Splendor Magazine is designed to share stories from our writers that aims to encourage women to know their true identity in Christ, empower them to use their gifts to glorify God, and equip them to make disciples in their fields, all without worry or strife. Each person, men and women alike, were called for a specific plan to be a part of God's will to further advance his kingdom, no matter what that calling looks like in your life. This magazine is to help you on your path to finding either God's calling on your life or to help spur you on in that calling when you're facing trials. Our fall issue, which centers around the topic we're diving into of the nearness and presence of Jesus, is being shipped out tomorrow and is still available for purchase. Special guest writer Johnny Nicole Parsons is featured and writes on what happens when emotions fade after a conference. Johnny is an author, speaker, and founder of Sunday Morning Marketing. You don't want to miss out on this issue, so go to our shop today and use code DIS15, that's D-I-S-15, to get 15% off when you order our fall issue. Or purchase an annual subscription. It's already marked at 15% off the retail price, but if you use our code, you can get an additional 15% off. So don't wait. Go to splendormag.com/shop to start buying today. That's splendeurmag.com/shop. Don't forget your discount code. Now let's get back to our conversation with Kelsey. You totally remind me of Anne of Green Gables right now.
Oh my gosh. That's like the highest compliment.
I honestly, like, I read the first book, I don't know, not too long ago, and I wasn't kidding when I said, like, you have a free spirit, you know, like, what is it that she said, what kind of spirit is it that, like...
Oh, like a kindred
spirit? Yes, yeah, totally a kindred spirit. But I was even thinking, like, as you were talking about shells and hummingbirds and all that stuff, like, God totally made you in that way because, and as you were saying, like, we all can draw near to him in different ways, and... finding snail shells is not
that will not
like a form for me. So I was like, I would just, but it's interesting too that you find so many, you know, and hummingbirds as well. Like that is so, I feel like it's, unless you have a hummingbird feeder, which my mom just bought and she loves seeing the hummingbirds now, like it's not that common to find them and to see them out in nature. And so I love how God created you and that you can find beauty in those things that like not other people do. I mean, I think a lot of people find hummingbirds beautiful, but that you can even find the analogy and that God is speaking to you in that way and that you can say like, man, I am like a hummingbird and I just need to calm down a little bit.
Yeah, so. Need to hover a little bit.
That's really, really cool.
Yeah. But like, I don't know, that's something too that I think I've started doing more the past like, you know, 6 or 7 years is like just noticing those things that whatever reason speak to my spirit, mm-hmm. and then asking him, like, is there mm-hmm. something more here that you're trying to teach me or show me? And I think we can all do that yeah. in so many ways through our yeah. day.
Yeah. I mean, if we take the moment out of our day, because as you mentioned, we are always busy, there's something that God like can show us through,
for sure.
through it. And actually, when I was in terms of like talking about nature and all that stuff, sometimes I just talk to God on my drives when I have a long road trip or yeah. whatever. I just turn off the music because I'm like, for some reason, even though I love listening to music, I just get bored of listening to, like, which never happens. And so I feel like I take that moment and God's like, just talk to me.
Yeah.
And so I let it all out and I'm like, oh, okay, Lord, why am I in this season? And in that moment, like, so I was driving home from Iowa this past weekend, mm-hmm. and it had just downpoured, and actually I was in the middle of another one on my way back to Peoria, and it was raining, but in the midst of before and after and all that stuff, there was a double rainbow. It was only a fraction of it a little bit, but then I started praising Jesus, and I was like, oh, you're so, like, I'm actually appreciating the nature. I don't actually take a moment like you yeah. do and look at the nature and be like, whoa, this is amazing. Mm-hmm. And not even just the rainbow, but like other, like other trees, they're starting to form different colors mm-hmm. even early on in August, you know? And so I'm looking at all this, and I'm like, you are so cool. And then God, and I'm like opening and pouring my heart out to him. And then I see a full double rainbow, like all across the sky. I was like, you are so cool, God. Like, I just, it was really an amazing moment.
I've always wanted to be cool. Oh. That was Surrey.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
On my watch.
Y'all, okay.
I'm so sorry. I'm
no,
gonna take
that is
it off.
Okay. That is so, well, my
she
phone
said,
rang
that's
earlier.
So. Cool.
Hello, God. Okay.
Oh my gosh.
So, okay. Yeah. No, that's crazy. I just, it is those moments when you actually take a moment and you yeah. speak to God and you actually invite him in that he can show you something. And I just totally saw that double rainbow as a gift. I was like, thank you for this gift that mm-hmm. you've given me, because it's rare to see rainbows, but it's even more rare to see a double rainbow, like yeah. a full one. And I know I'm not the only one who saw it. Like, I know it wasn't probably not just for me, but it felt like it. I was like, thanks for giving this to me.
Aww.
So, yeah. Yeah,
that's sweet.
Yeah, I mean, it was, I'm not going to forget that anytime soon. So,
yeah.
Okay, dreams. That is something I don't think a lot of people really necessarily talk about. I have dreams too, but I want to hear about your experience and all that.
Well, so yeah, caveat with it. Like, yeah. I have had many dreams that I don't think are from the Lord. So I'm yeah. definitely not like here to say every dream is from him, but I do think that we have like, you know, biblical basis for thinking that he speaks to his followers through dreams. And I think what's unique is I started experiencing it, well, maybe not unique. I started experiencing it more when I started asking him for it. Mm. And there's like two stories that I'd love to share. And the first was something that I didn't really know, but like that it was from him 100% immediately. But it was a dream where I was walking in a garden, which that probably should have been my first clue, because like he speaks to people and walks with people in gardens all the time. I was walking in a garden and my pastor was there, which that should have been my second clue. And he turned to me and he pointed out a flower and he said, Kelsey, this is a lily. It's heaven's flower.
Mm-hmm.
And I woke up and I was like, okay, like that seemed really random, mm-hmm. but like I guess I have never been somebody that even really liked the way that lilies looked or mm-hmm. whatever, so I was like, well,
are they like the funeral flower?
Yeah,
funeral
I mean, they flower? Can be, or like yeah. Easter lilies, you know, there's different varieties, but they just weren't my thing necessarily. So then like months later, I had a friend who was talking about name meanings and just like how cool it is when parents will intentionally name their kid you know, something from the Bible or that means something in a biblical sense, and how it can speak that kind of over the person's life. And I'm pretty sure my parents picked my name because they thought it sounded cool, Kelsey Suzanne Barnhart. And I didn't even like really love my middle name, but I decided to just Google like what the names meant. And when I Googled Suzanne, it meant Lily.
Oh my gosh. That's
I got goosebumps.
I know.
Oh, and I was like, that's so amazing, like the timing of it, that I had that dream. I didn't really fully even know what it was about. For whatever reason, I remembered it when I woke up and then later found out Suzanne meant Lily. And so now, like, I can replace that kind of in my head and be like, you know, that person in the garden is like, this is Kelsey. She's heaven's flower.
Yeah.
And yeah, so again, like, I felt his nearness in that moment, but I think what sticks out to me more is how I've looked back on that time and time and time and time again, and how I've each new hard thing that goes on, and I like feel the Lord is distant from me, or like, does he care that this is happening to me? Like, is he cultivating my life in any helpful way? I can think back to that dream and be encouraged each new time, and feel his nearness time and time again. So yeah, that's dream number one, heaven's flower. And the second dream was, I can't even like believe that this happened. So hopefully you guys will believe me. So I had this dream that I was sitting in a restaurant across from somebody that at that time I was having beef with. So them showing up in my dream was honestly rude. I did not want to see them there. And then out of the corner of my eye, this boy walks in, probably like 8 years old, and starts singing. And then I started to notice that the words of the song were about like me and my life. And I was like, that's interesting. And then people in the restaurant started like standing up and turning and facing me and joining in the song like a flash mob.
Yeah, that's crazy. I was just about to say that.
I know. Okay. And so then it started like crescendoing and developing to this like full bore symphony with rhyming lyrics and like all these unique parts of my life. Like I did ballet for 20 years and that was mentioned in the song, or at that point in my life, I was like worried about whether or not I was being a good friend, and that was mentioned in the song, and like all these things. Okay, so then I wake up and I immediately start sobbing because I realize like that was the most beautiful song I've ever heard in my entire life. Like from a music standpoint, it was just gorgeous. And I was sad because it was already starting to like drift away and I couldn't capture it and I couldn't like remember the melody. So I pulled out my phone and I started immediately like in the notes app writing down as many of the lyrics as I could remember. And then when I like looked and noticed that they rhymed, I was like, there's no way that my brain could have done that.
Yeah,
like I know we can do a lot of things when we're sleeping, but I have like zero music experience. Yeah. So the fact that it sounded beautiful and it rhymed, I was just like, that was the Lord. And I immediately thought of Zephaniah 3:17 when it says that he sings over us. And I was like, Lord, like you showed me like one of the songs that you've written about me. And I, ever since then, I just have this belief that like that verse is not like that verse is not metaphorical. That's legit. He has these songs that he sings over us, just like he sang it over me in that restaurant, and that we all have those songs. And it just got me like even more hype for heaven, because I realized like I would get to hear the song again.
Oh gosh, yes.
And I'd get to hear like other songs that he's written. And there's like Lydia's songs that he's written and sings over you. And you might not even like know it when it's happening. So, and that, I mean, that was just another example of like, felt super near when I woke up, but like the things of the world happen through our days and our months and our years, and we can, you know, we don't live on those constant like highs.
Yeah.
And that's something that I wanted to make sure I mentioned, which was like, my life's a mess. And like 95% of the time, I don't feel that he's close in like an experiential, tangible way.
Yeah.
Right. So I have to like claw back through my memory for these moments where I did feel it. And yeah, there's more that I want to say about that later. But like, I would just encourage anybody to think back like right now on the times that you have felt him near in a really tangible way. And once you, like, see it adding up on a piece of paper, you're like, oh, my gosh, you're so good to us, even when I don't understand anything that you're doing in my life.
It's, like, proof that he's real.
Yeah.
Like, there's a couple, like, things that kind of popped up first being that your name meaning lily, mm-hmm. like my first thought was like, no wonder you love nature so much. That just, you are, I think names have such profound meaning. And Lydia is, you know, when you first look it up, it just says from the country Lydia. And I was like, okay. But looking into it more, like especially looking at Lydia in the Bible, who mm-hmm. actually was named after, like
she shared the gospel.
Yeah, she shared the gospel and she worshiped in the Lord and all that stuff. And looking into it, it's like, Lydia is like a worshiper mm-hmm. of God. And so I was like, oh, that's totally relatable. Yeah. I love to worship God through music and all of that stuff. And dreams too, like, you know, with the song, you're totally right that I have songs. I cannot tell you how many times I've woken up and I've coming from a song that God just like completely full. I still remember it, and not in terms of remembering the words or the melody, but I remember it was a full-on gospel choir song that I had. And I can hear, like, the music sometimes. Mm. Like, there are times – have you ever had – I don't know because I don't know if it's this common, but this is a total random side note. But have you ever, like, heard sounds in your sleep and it's so loud that you wake up?
That happened to me once. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Because that's happened to me multiple times, and I actually felt like I could hear the music.
That's amazing.
And I woke up, I'm like, oh, why, Lord, would you give this to me? And I can't write it down right now. And I, yeah. So that and other songs that have popped up. But even just, you know, for people who are listening and maybe they're skeptical about this, mm-hmm. like, I don't think that we should necessarily say, or I don't know, say that God can't do this, because if we look at other testimonies from people overseas too, I mean, God has to reach people in many different mm-hmm. ways, because they don't have access to the word. Mm-hmm. They don't have access to other Christians sometimes. So you hear all these beautiful testimonies about Muslims or Hindus or anything seeing a man in white in their dreams. I'm like, that is God speaking. Mm-hmm. He's like showing them that He's real even through dreams. And so I don't think we should discount dreams from being a way that God can show us who He is. So,
right. I mean, I think it takes like a lot of discernment, right? Because mm-hmm. there's been other dreams that I've woken up from and I've just had like immediate fear. And that's been like, even if it wasn't a nightmare, and that's been like a clue to me of like, I don't think that's from the Lord. If it's not like this righteous like fear of God thing, but it's more just like this weird mm-hmm. like from the enemy fear. Yeah. So I think it takes discernment and, you know, running it by other like believers that you trust. But yeah, those are probably like the two that I could point to and say with like 100% certainty mm-hmm. in my life are like from Him. Mm-hmm. But yeah, if you've like never asked the Lord for dreams, like mm-hmm. what do you have to lose, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like just ask Him to speak to you in that way, and I think it would happen.
Yeah, that I've been asking for dreams for like many years, and you know, I think that, I think that I didn't even know that God was like giving me dreams mm-hmm. until I started learning about dreams more. But you know, we kind of brought up a point of like saying like sometimes you'll wake up with fear and knowing that obviously that's not from God because that's not in His character. But to know like if the enemy can give us nightmares and make us feel fear through dreams, then we can also know that God can give us you know, He's even bigger than that. So why wouldn't He? I mean, He's like all powerful. Yeah. Why wouldn't He do that? You know? just to say like, oh, I'm not going to give this to you or whatever. I mean, there's scripture, like you said, mm-hmm. and how men and boys will have dreams and visions in the end mm-hmm. times. And so, but going on into another point of like, you were mentioning earlier too about this person you were kind of having beef with.
Yeah.
And I actually have had dreams about other people and to where, you know, it seems completely random where I have them in my dream, like one person I hadn't seen in months. Mm. And for some reason I had a dream about him and I had a dream about something he was struggling with. Mm. And I just kind of texted him like, hey, this is so random. Maybe it doesn't mean anything, but I had a dream about you. Are you doing okay? Because I saw that you were struggling with something. I didn't name it, but I think we both knew mm-hmm. what it was. And He's like, oh my gosh, that is so timely. I literally just texted my friend saying like how I was struggling with this. And then you like texted me and we actually FaceTimed and talked about it.
That's cool.
And I didn't ask for that dream. I was just saying, like, I have asked for dreams because I do want to be an encouraging person to people and say, hey, like, God wants you to know he sees you and he sees like the fight that you're fighting, and it feels hard, but it's well fought. You're doing a good job. So I think, you know, there are different ways that God can use dreams for whatever purpose he wants. So, so thanks for sharing your stories.
Yeah.
So going on to the next one, I mean, you're kind of alluding to it a little bit from like dreams. And I believe that this does show you that you've had experience where you knew where you were in the presence of God. But have you had like any experience that you knew he was real and he was there with you and without a doubt?
Yeah, I think there's been a few different experiences, but the overarching theme of those things has been when something happens that like I couldn't explain in my own mind or like science, you know, like whether that be like a very specific way that a prayer was answered, where it's like, I had an experience with someone where I literally saw them the last day they were in Peoria, and it was somebody that I wanted to apologize to, and I had been asking for the Lord for like a way to apologize to them, and then I happened to pass them on their last day in town. So it's like something like that where it's so specific and so tangible that it's like, Lord, you heard me, you saw that desire in my heart, and you like made a way for it. And then, you know, there have been other times like during prayer where something will happen physically, like whether that be like a feeling or like speaking in tongues or something like that, where it's like, I can't manufacture this no matter how much I want to. And, you know, some of those experiences have been in public and some in private. And that's always really cool, too, because then you kind of see the purity of your heart, that like you're not doing anything for anybody else. It's just like between you and Jesus. So yeah, there have been some moments like that, but I think what's unique is like a lot of those things happened before this season of 6 really hard years.
Yeah.
And it's been in those years that I haven't had as many of those really close, tangible experiences, and I've had to kind of rely on the memory of those things or to just simply ask for his nearness, like, regardless of knowing how it's going to manufacture throughout my day.
Why do you think that it has been harder for you to be able to have those tangible moments? Do you think it's because like the trials are just, they feel so overwhelming almost? I mean, not to say that God can't overcome that either, but I'm just curious your thoughts on that.
I think one of the things for sure is like distracting myself.
Yeah.
So like the harder things have gotten, the easier it's been to give in to the temptation of like staying busy with other things or being on social media or watching a show or even distracting myself with good things like going on a walk. I'm usually listening to a podcast or an audiobook. Like, I think, I mean, to be honest, like when I have felt offended at the Lord, then it's like, well, I'm naturally going to distract myself because I don't necessarily want to sit down and talk to him. But when I do, it's always so, so good. And it's like, oh, this is why I do this. Like, because you are still here and you are still good and I can still trust you. But yeah, I think distraction's a huge element paired with offense, and I think that's why it's just so important that we keep coming to him with those things and being honest with him.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think it's good that you're sharing that because, you know, maybe from someone who's like listening to this podcast up until this point, they're probably thinking like, oh, my gosh, she sounds perfect. Like, just in terms of like, you know, the stories that you're sharing and things like that. I think it's good for you to be honest and saying, you know, it's really hard for you to get into that mindset and say, like, just to have those conversations with the Lord. So, you know, for those who are listening to this, there's no like perfect formula and that you have to do something 100% all the time every day to actually draw near to him, because I mean, the reality of it is that we have jobs, we have our lives, we get distracted, like you said, very easily. And sometimes, you know, those things can just make us even forget a little bit that God exists until you say your prayers at night or whatever. Yeah. So,
well, and that's too, like, why I said at the beginning, like, it's been much more of him, yeah, like, drawing near to me, yeah, and continually pursuing me the past few years. Because, mm-hmm, I think if it was left to me and my own devices, mm-hmm, like, my relationship with him wouldn't be strong still. Right. But it's, like, his faithfulness, yeah, and his pursuit of us that, you know, is a huge part of the equation.
Yeah, yeah. Praise God for that. Oh, man. So in that, you know, what we're talking about, when you find yourself doubting, because, mm-hmm, we all have those moments, we'd be lying to ourselves if we didn't. But what is something that brings you back to his truth and his way?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, for sure, remembering things. I think even preparing for this podcast, like, lit my soul on fire a, yeah, little bit, because I was like, oh, like, I have felt him near and he has been near. But I think the other thing that I do quite a bit when I'm doubting is, or I'm trying to do, is just be honest with him about, mm-hmm, it, and then to ask him for more. Like, I believe he's always with us, like, his word says that. So it's not necessarily asking him to be with me more than he was, but, mm-hmm, to help me feel it and, mm-hmm, to help me take the time to spend time with him. And, mm-hmm, so, yeah, I think it's remembering what he's done, but then also asking for more. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like Thomas in the New Testament when he's like, I believe, but help my unbelief.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I think we're, you know, if we're honest with ourselves, we probably all have a mixture of that in our relationship with him. But yeah, other than that, like, it's been encouraging to read portions of scripture that are specifically other people remembering all the things, mm-hmm, that the Lord has done, whether that's like the song of Moses and Miriam in, mm-hmm, Exodus, yeah, and they're recounting what, mm-hmm, the Lord has done for them, or like the Hall of Faith in Hebrews, or even Paul throughout so much of the New Testament, mm-hmm, listing like terrible thing after terrible, yeah, thing, but then by the end saying like everything else is rubbish besides,
right,
Jesus.
Right.
Like, you know, surrounding yourself with either parts of the Bible or people who, mm-hmm, are contending for the faith despite hard things. I think, mm-hmm, that can do nothing but good things for our doubts.
That's beautiful. Yeah. Well, our podcast, it's called Dress and Splendor. So,
yeah.
I mean, it references, you know, the verse Luke 12:27. And we actually, and I just kind of want to say this as a random, you know, aside, but I mean, I use the translation where it says wildflowers, but it says the lilies of the field,
oh,
as well. So I just like wanted to share that. And I'm like, huh, Lord, is this another reason, aww, why she's on here? But yeah, so it mentions like how we should not labor after the things of this world. Rather, we should actually look at the wildflowers as an example of how to be dressed in splendor. So how would you say that we can apply our conversation that we've had just now about God's presence and drawing near to him? How can we, meaning his image, be dressed in even grander splendor than the wildflowers of the field?
I think I love the context of that verse and the fact that it's like in response to the temptation to be anxious, mm-hmm, or to worry.
Mm-hmm.
Because then the answer to that is like to look at beautiful things and all that the Lord has done and to trust in his ability more, mm-hmm, than ours. So I think that's like lesson numero uno for myself is like when I do make time to set aside, you know, the worries and the concerns and everything, and I just look at what he's done, like those things become like, mm-hmm, clothing or like accessories to my life,
yeah,
right? Like I'd much rather have that than some awesome outfit on Instagram, mm-hmm, or something. It's like, mm-hmm, that my life could be dressed in these examples of,
yeah,
him being faithful and drawing near to me. And I just think he likes to do it because he gives good gifts. And so, of course, like that would be his response to us when we have fears and worries and anxiety, mm-hmm, is to give us things.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's awesome. So is there anything like maybe that I haven't asked or anything that maybe you want to share like as a last note before we end?
I think I would just want to encourage any listener, like, to read John 6 if you have time, because I think that that probably more perfectly encapsulates everything I've tried to share than what I've done in the last however long this episode is. But I'll just read part of it, which was, you know, Jesus basically calling out the fact that, like, some of the things he said were offensive to people, a lot of the things he said. And, you know, I can draw a parallel to my life and say, a lot of the things you've allowed, God, have felt offensive, like, if I'm being honest. And, you know, a lot of disciples that had once followed him were turning away and no longer walking with him. And he said to the 12, do you want to go away as well? And Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed, and we have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. And I think that just, like, perfectly sums it up, that all of these things, these examples of his nearness in different ways, have been what has held me to him, you know, paired with what he's done on the cross. Obviously, I don't want any of those things to trump the actual gospel. But it's created this, like, attitude where it's kind of like, no matter what else comes, where else would I go?
Right.
Because, like, he still has the words of eternal life through it all. And I believe that he speaks those words through so many different ways.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. Perfectly and describe what I think too. We always want to be able to make sure that people go back to scripture.
Yeah.
Because we are sinful human beings. And though we prayed right before this and we asked for his spirit to just guide our conversation, we know that maybe there's some things that we said that were not correct. So that's just both of our encouragement is, like, always go back to the word. And so, yeah, read John 6 and all that
stuff. It's
your
homework.
Right. Yeah. I'll test you next time with a pop quiz. So thanks for joining the show. How can our listeners find you?
Okay, well, if you want to see anything that I've written, the best place to do that would be my website, which, like, sounds super official, but it's not, and that is kelseybarnhart.com. Have some things that I wrote for Splendor there, as well as some various things I wrote for some cancer platforms when I was going through treatment. And then probably the other place would be Instagram. Love a good Instagram feed, and have some really exciting stuff that I'm planning to post throughout the rest of the year. So that would be at Kelsey Barnhart.
Cool. And that you'll find all of that in the show notes. So you'll find how to spell it on there. So yeah, thanks again for joining the show. And thank you everyone for tuning in. We'll see you next time. Thank you so much for tuning in, y'all. I really hope that this conversation blessed you in some way, shape, or form. Perhaps you found new and unique ways to draw near to God through Kelsey's testimony. With this series, I pray that this inspires you to run to God and not away from Him. If you want to know when our next episode will be out, follow us on social media. Find us on Instagram at Dressed in Splendor. Make sure to like this podcast and leave us a review wherever you can. Not for my sake, but that the message of Christ through the powerful testimonies of His children can be shared with all in order for His glory to be magnified. If you're interested in being a sponsor, please email us at info@splendormag.com. Your sponsorship will help us continue in our mission to encourage, empower, and equip women in their walk with Christ. We thank you in advance for your support. The music of the Dress in Splendor podcast was produced by Jael Arekasi. Find him on Instagram at Sound of Pastel Kid for more of his work. That's Sound of Pastel, P-A-S-T-E-L Kid. Thank you, Kelsey, for joining us on our podcast. And lastly, thank you, dear listeners, for tuning in. May you be blessed as you continue on in your day, and may God be glorified through your work.